11, 29 to 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to the generation, to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." And so the gospel of the Lord. A sign for this generation. Yesterday, I was walking on an errand in the downtown part of Berkeley, and I encountered a man on the sidewalk who was in the middle of a complete psychological breakdown. He was old and rather frail man, but nevertheless jumped and struck his foot on the sidewalk, demonstrating the lethal blow he was going to deliver to you or anyone else that got in his way. As he repeated his threats, I picked up my pace with a sense of wonder at how loud the sound was made as he continued to make his foot strike the sidewalk in a sort of violent circular motion. The office up the street that I had hoped to visit was closed, and so only a short time later I returned along the same sidewalk. Now the man was a bit off to the side, speaking threats to any and all who would listen. What struck me this time was the comprehensive scope of his threats and the rather high literary form of his ranting. He was going to kill you. There'd be no escape. He knew where you lived. And he did not appear drunk, but just really angry. As I walked on, I could not get rid of the intensity of his anger, the comprehensive scope of his rage, not to mention the kind of scholarly merit of his threats. After all, this is Berkeley. His rage was perfect. The images stayed with me, and not only the brokenness and suffering, but the longing that must be at the heart of his suffering. In some ways, this man is a real Jonah for our time, as he threatens destruction to every and all in Berkeley. It disturbs me that this man might be arrested for his own protection, it's a good thing, or softened by pills. And yet, no one would perhaps address the heartsick longing at the root of his suffering. And believe me, it's not easy to do that. I've been around the streets for long enough to know that, well, just how hard it is to touch the broken spirit with the hand of healing. The man with perfect anger challenges my ministry. Do we address the real suffering of the heart and the spirit, or just provide a bland spiritual first aid to our suffering brothers and sisters? Indeed, to a culture and a world that isn't even angry, but simply never noticed, is completely obtuse when it comes to the hunger of the spirit. No, we need to brave more penetrating questions, more incisive conversations, more dangerous possibilities. As our consumer culture morphs into the selfie generation, we need some Jonas to pose decisive questions and speak out difficult truths. It's easy to write off the crazy man howling at the curbside. More difficult to rouse the indifferent who've been lulled into a sad silence and given up on the life of the soul. A Jonah for our time would ask some of the right questions. I recently came across a surprising quotation from an artist who depicts the soul of modern men and women, and in his questioning and in his provocative art, Pablo Picasso offers what to me was a surprising statement. He says, "Computers are useless. They can only give you answers." As we're entering the Lenten season, perhaps we might enhance the renewing spirit of the season by questioning some of our patent answers and those of our church. Our style of life, even, could use a a different demonstration and setting. I found that as you go to the heart of an answer, you may generate often new questions, further mysteries, a deeper sense of awareness of the beauty and complexity of human behavior. Often the real goodness of the human heart is tentative and unfinished. The best thing that might be said about a person is often in the purity and beauty of his or her desires, rather than the actual state of their achievements. We might turn Jonah loose in the streets of Washington, D.C., or Rome, or Tokyo, so that all mankind might declare a fast and discover a new pattern of living that shows concern for brothers and sisters everywhere. It's not so much shaped by the indifferent forces of the economy, but fashioned by the dream, the wanting of the soul. Rather than destroying other people and even the earth itself, we might declare a fast to be followed by an accompanying feast. We might fast from overwork, economic exploitation, seeing only unsurmountable problems, too great a focus on ourselves. We might feast upon leisure time, simplicity of life, recognition of the sanctity of life in all other peoples, ecological rest for an overexploited planet. Such a shift would cause us to dream and seek new solutions and would equip us with the energy to take the small human steps that would link us to our brothers and sisters everywhere and establish us in a style of simple yet abundant living. A Jonah for our time would remind us of the infinite beauty and wonder of every human person and perhaps begin to do some of the things that Pope Francis is encouraging as he calls us to look beyond the insolvable issues that divide us and build upon our shared humanity and address the hunger that arises within the soul as the inner Spirit of God is allowed to speak within us. And as it poses the greater question, and will release really compelling energies that give life to the Spirit during this Lenten time.